And I feel so unworthy of it. I feel very inadequate. I've never classified myself as a teacher. But I do want to thank them. And if I've not miscounted, and I could be wrong, I think this makes my 25th year that I've been here at Old Union. And I've enjoyed it so very much. And I've benefited so greatly from being here. For all these lessons I've heard these brethren teach. And I may not exhibit what I've learned, but I have learned from these brethren that have taught. And I thank God for them. And I pray that this school will never find a place where it can't be. I hope it can go on and on and on until the Lord comes back to take us home. I really do. I want to thank the Lord for the devotional this morning. And I want to thank God for the two lessons that I've heard taught already. And Brother Bryson mentioned that he pitied us that followed Brother Smith morning. And I remembered something that Brother Calvin Perrigo said once, and most of you all know him or knew him, and I miss him so much. He was to take the lesson right after lunch like I do, and there's one rule this student is absolutely allowed. But this preacher got up and just done an awesome job. God had really blessed and helped him. And I walked over to Brother Perrigo sitting along over here at the break, and I said, Brother Perrigo, I said, he has sure give you a hard road to follow. He said, no, son. He said, he had just set the stage for me. So this morning, Brother Henry and Brother Bob has set the stage for me, and so did David in the devotional. And I must go through this. Brother Binion and Brother Spurgeon have a little me. They're from this down in here. They know where all the hanging trees are at, and I don't. So if I may, please don't trip me. But I want to say that I thank God for this privilege. I was at home, and I went to the phone, and I thought that I had a special friend in Brother Steve Skinner. And I said, Brother Watts, he said, oh, you just elected you to be one of them here. And I sat there for the longest time, and I couldn't get up. My leg on me, and I sit there, and I sit there, and I finally get up. And I went to the kitchen where my wife was preparing her meal. And I said, hon, I said, you're not going to guess what happened. And she looked at me in fright. Of course, I guess I must have looked like. I said, Old Union has elected me to be a teacher this year. And she said, you're kidding. So it amazed her as much as it did me. But immediately after that, thoughts began in my mind, as you preachers know how that happens. And I had a whole page of things written down, of different subjects that I might consider. I woke up praying. So one morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I believe it was the power of God awakening me. And when I awakened, I didn't hear an audible voice. But the first thing come to my mind was preaching with power. And that just flooded my soul. I laid down and wept. And I even turned over and I waked my wife up. I said, sweetheart, you're not going to guess what's just happened. And she said, Fred, I said, God gave me my thought for Old Union. So the thought that I've got, it's not something that I picked up, but it's one that God sent. So with those things being said, brother, I'm ready to go. I guess you've already got it going. That's all right. I probably won't need the time anyway. But as you know, my thought this afternoon is preaching power. And before I get started, I want to read a couple of portions of Scripture. And the first one will be found in the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 16. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And I speak with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princesses of this world, but that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In the book of Ephesians, and in the sixth chapter, I want to read this. Verses 18 through 20. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So that's the scripture reading I wanted to read to base our thought on today. And I do desire an interest in your prayers. Now, these two words I want to give a definition of before I go on. And I want to define preaching first. And the definition that I chose for this is preaching. This word comes from a Greek word, kaoso, and I'm like Brother Moran, I don't catch these Greek words very well. And Brother Bruce Adamson, forgive me of that, would you? And that means to herald or to proclaim divine truth. And then the word power. This word comes from another Greek word, dunamis, and that means miraculous power. So I want these two words now, as I've defined them, hopefully that they'll find their place throughout this entire lesson. Now for an introduction, the object of this lesson, as I stand before you, and I borrowed this term from Brother Bryson by his permission. So the object of this lesson is try to head off dangerous trends. Now, brother, I want you to hear what I've got to say this afternoon. And the way that I teach might be a little bit different from what else. But what I'm looking at as I stand before you this afternoon has the potential of entering more homes than any other means that I know of. And that is through these men that have been called by the Father of God. So we need to get off dangerous trends. And I see this dangerous trend affecting so many of our preachers today. So, and I think this problem is affecting probably more of our young preachers than anything else. Now, young preachers, I'm not picking on you. Please don't misunderstand me. But right now, while that you're young and while that you're tender, is the time for you to learn some harsh lessons. If you get a chance to grow and become hardened in your mind and get so many preconceived notions, you'll be hard to change. But while you're young, that's the time to learn these things. But you know, it seems like that the problem that we're having is that there's too much time for work, and we seem to seek out that. We spend more time on our job and more time with pleasure than we do in prayer and study. If preachers are going successful, and I don't mean that they have to do something to build themselves a big name, but if our preacher is going to be effective, brothers, it's going to take some prayerful study. It's going to give him some time to the Lord, and it won't happen that if we don't. Now, my lesson this afternoon may seem to be just a little bit harsh, but I believe we're living in harsh times. We really are. And some of you young preachers may not know what I'm talking about, but I'm sure that some of these older preachers do. They know what I'm talking about. But I think that when we have problems, that we need to face them problems head on. We don't need to just push them back to a more convenient time, but we need to address them while we're there. And brother, we've got problems today in our churches. We've got problems today in our preaching department. And we need to address these things. We really do. I have a feeling, and I can't prove this, but it's a feeling that I have. I have a feeling that politics is playing too big a role in our churches today. Politics has too big a role in the preaching department today. I think we have preachers saying, I know you, I'll have you come preach a revival at my church. It is if God is not laying a preacher on your heart and in the heart of the church to select someone to preach a revival at your church, they don't need to be there. Amen. So take that for what it's worth. I said we're living in harsh times. And Satan is using these harsh times and this pacified state he's got us in, that he is just working in the lives and the hearts of every God-called preacher that there is, and every old-time missionary Baptist church that there is, and brother, the person is planting his discord, and before you know it, he'll have drunk to sleep, and he'll take over. So, again, take that for what it's worth. Now, I realize this evening that maybe, and my friend, I want you to know that I come from that school of hard knocks. I was a preacher one time, and they were some old preachers and old deacons, and I thank God for every one of them. Brother, they took me under their wing, and they come to me whenever I would misquote something or if I misstated something, and they said, do you think it could be this way? They helped me. They gave instructive criticism. So preachers, this evening, if somebody gives you some constructive criticism, please don't get mad at them people, but take it with love and use it for honor and the glory of God. So I come from that school of hawks, and I know what it's like. So I may make some statements this evening. You may have heard some statements in your past that they kind of ruffled your feathers, ruffled my feathers. They may hurt your feelings. They hurt my feelings. But bless your hearts this evening. I think some of the things that we withhold from these young preachers and from our churches hurts them much worse than what we don't say to them. We need to open our mouth, as Paul said in this writing, they can speak boldly. Brothers, this evening, we need to get this cowardice feeling away from us and remove the yellow streak from up our back, and we need to step out and say, I'm being counted for the Lord. Don't be afraid. Well, I was afraid where to go, but it's all gone. So, I tell you what, whenever that we get our feelings hurt and we won't accept what's been said in love, I tell you what's going to happen. When we hold these things that preachers ought to hear and that our churches ought to hear, whether it is a minister of the gospel, we ourselves are beginning to start another dangerous trend. And these trends need to be cut off. They need to be stopped. They need to be nipped in the bud before they get too big that we can't handle them. If we step up and be counted right at the beginning and say, this is the way it is, son. Now this evening, if this is ruffling your feathers, you know what I got to say to you? Just suck it up. Just suck it up, my friend. Take it home with you and pray about it. And grow in the grace of the Lord. Preacher, you're saying this because we've got little children all over this world that's going to reach the yet accountability, and you can't help them with soft sermons. Amen. And I tell you what, my friend, these little sermonettes, little 10, 15-minute sermonettes just ain't getting it. They just ain't getting it. Now, if we've been called to preach the gospel, and surely we have, this school, my friend, here at Old Union, and a lot of people just can't stand it when you put the name school on it. I hate.
Amen.
I'm not a bit afraid of the word school, but I'm telling you, please need to be schooled. God does the calling. Old Union has never called one. But Old Union, my friend, has orchestrated a school where their preachers could become better informed preachers. And we need better informed preachers in this world. I'll tell you something that makes me so sick I can hardly stand it. And that is for a preacher to say, well, I just didn't know that. That ain't nobody's fault but ours when we do that. My friend, if we'll study, if we'll give some time to some praying and some study, I'm telling you, God can make a different preacher out of you. Yes, He can. Let's go a little further. Brother Moran, did you drop that clock again? It's going awful fast. Now, I want to say this. This is not a work, my friend, the preaching of the gospel. It's not a work that we need to be taken lightly nor half-hearted. We need to put our whole heart in it. Everything that we've got, we need to put it into the ministry that the Lord has called us into. And we need to show ourselves approved unto God. Oh, Brother Watts, if I do, it'll hurt Brother so-and-so. Let him get over it. Let him get over it, my friend. Make ourselves approved unto God. And God will be satisfied. God's satisfied. Brother Joel had to be satisfied. And I don't know if there's a Joel here today or not, so I'm not picking on that. Preachers, you and I, we need to make the best preparations that we possibly can make. We're talking about preaching with power. My friend, that is an awesome thought, preaching. Proclaiming God's divine truth with a mysterious power. You know, you didn't get this power yet to Joe's gym either. You couldn't pump that up on your arm. But brother, that kind of power comes through obedience. It comes through studying. And it comes through obedience. That's the kind of power that we need. Young preachers today, hey, I have been here long enough. I have seen the most of you come. And you young preachers today, while that you're putting on the whole armor of God, put it on right. Put it on right. And don't fall into the traditions of men and find you some little sermonettes. So this is nothing that we need to take lightly. But my friend, we need to put our whole heart into it. Preachers need to make good preparations before that they take the stand. You know what about this when I was studying this? A lot of preachers will wait up to 15 or 20 minutes before they got to preach. And they'll try to work them up a sermon. My friend, if you had a family of five or six children, would you wait about 30 minutes before they got hungry and to try to make the money to feed them? No, you'd work all week to make a paycheck to feed your children. I tell you, we need to put some time into the study of the Word of God to feed the Son of God. They deserve to be fed. If this puts you to sleep this evening, I'll get it. Now, if we take the pulpit at any time with our confidence in God limited, brothers, when you take the confidence, the pulpit, you need to take it with full confidence. And as a statement was made earlier, that God is just standing here with His arms around us. We need to take it with all the confidence of God. Not just part of it, all of it. But if you take it with any limited amount, Satan will strip you of every ounce of confidence you have. And he'll leave you standing here ragged. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to cause the preacher, because he feels an obligation, I've got to say something. Brothers, this evening, if the Lord has not been on your heart to say something you've not studied, and remember this, I don't care how much you open your mouth, if you don't study, God ain't going to feel it. You need to study. Have that word planted right in your heart, in your mind. And then fall back in the arms of God and let God preach you. Somebody said, you know, I was so worried about this. I went up to Southside Staff last Friday and locked myself in where I'm pastoring. And I got behind the pulpit and I went through this lesson, just me and the Lord. I got beside myself. I really did. So I know it's right. Now let me say this right here. I don't mean to be a Jerry Clower. I don't. But, you know, I want to make a strong point right here. Our churches, my friend, and you have to admit this, our churches are hungry today. Amen. Brothers, they're not just hungry, but they're starving. These churches are starving today. You can go in any church you want to coast, and at any given time, well, we have a warm service once in a while, but almost any given time, my friend, it's all like you're in a funeral parlor. Whose fault's that? Brother, I'm telling you what churches is, Brother Miller and I've been talking, they need the Holy Ghost of God in them. And unless we get a hold of this power, brothers, I'm telling you, our churches are going to die right around us. So our churches need to be fed. These churches are not interested. Now, we have some educated men here today. And I don't belittle you. Matter of fact, I praise you. I'm glad you got it. And I wish I had more education. But the churches, my friend, that we preach to, they're not interested in how smart we are. They're not interested in how intellectual we can act. These people, my friend, they're simple people, most of them, and they come to be fed with the truth. And they deserve to be fed with the truth. They need that bread that comes down from heaven. That time gets very fast. Now, listen to this. I know we God can't, and God can't do that. But my friend, God can't. He cannot. And He will not use a preacher effectively who does not see his preaching seriously. My friend, you see it seriously. Some of you young preachers are going to go to a church somewhere, and I'm telling you it's different from going for a pulpit here and there and preach a little sermonette and then going home. No, you preach it and stay with it. So you need to grow. You get a handle on this while you're young. So God's not going to use you effectively if you don't see the seriousness and the necessity of the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, that's my friend, if we ain't got nothing else to preach, we can preach about the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Son of God. There's more preaching in that than we'll ever preach out. So there's a big job there. But we need to preach it with power. The Almighty God of heaven, my friend, listen to this. He has called us, who? Our wives. He's called us. He's called us, my friend. God spoke to your heart and to my heart. And He called us. And look what He did. He sent us on an errand of life and death. That's how serious this is. My friend, if some of your little children, them boys, if somebody called and said, they have fallen into a lake out here and they're drowning, every one of us would make a mad dash for that lake and we'd go in after that child. We'd try to help that child. We'd want it to live. These people that are lost, they're in a sea, a lake of sin. And they're descending down and down and down. And it's the responsibility of the ministry of the churches, my friend, to go out and to rescue these people. By the power of God, we have this responsibility. So He sent us on an errand of mercy of life and death. Now, this is the well-being of your ministry. The ministry God has given you. And it's for the well-being of the church, whether you pastor or whether you attend. These churches deserve better what we've given them, brothers. Amen. Now, I'm going to say something right here. It might just kind of shock you, but it won't. Brother, the churches in America are declining. Don't want to hear that, do we? Brother, they're on a decline.
Church, if you wanted to tell it, there's a few of them that still has a fairly decent crowd. But the most of them, my friend, they don't hardly have enough of that to have some sometime. Probably nobody can teach Sunday school. Nobody can take care of devotional. We're declining. And if America don't get serious about this, God's going to take this from this country and take it to one like Trinidad and Jamaica and Africa. Wouldn't they appreciate it? Wouldn't they appreciate it? So our churches are in serious shape. Men, let's look at this. You may feel like that you're too unlearned. Or maybe that your voice don't sound just, I hate to hear myself on a tape. I'll never listen to this tape these brothers are making. I hate to hear me. I sound awful. And I guess I sound awful to you today. But you may feel like that your voice don't sound just right and nobody would hear you. But my friend, if God has called you, He'll use you. There's a place for you. Paul made this statement in the Corinthian letter, the first chapter, verses 26 and 29. He said, for you see your calling. But if you can't see your calling, I'm telling you, you have no business here today because this is a preacher's school. This is to help preachers. But so if you see your calling, you know you've been called. I tell you what my calling, but when God called me, it's just as real to me. I would deny that I've been saved as quick as I deny my call. It's that real to me. The devil told me if I owned my call, God could leave me. And I asked her, and she wouldn't tell me. Made it worse than ever. But she'd always say there's two things she meant for a husband, and one of them was a plumber, and one was a preacher, and I was both. But she loves me, and she's behind me. But my friend, hear me. It doesn't make any difference how that you may sound to us, brother. You'll sound different to this one. And somebody somewhere needs you. And your preaching is needed. Don't withhold that preaching. But God regardless, my friend. The Bible says in this last scripture, you said that God has chosen the foolish things. Now, I'm not calling you foolish. I'm not. We may look foolish. As a matter of fact, I had a man one time said, I'm coming back next Sunday to have a heart attack. Well, I said, come out on back. So, my friend, we may look foolish. But I'm telling you that the Lord said that it pleased God for the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. So, preaching is not foolishness. Now, if we aren't real careful, we'll end up, though, we'll be trying so hard. And I tell you, I had these feelings myself. I'm standing here today before men that have taught me. These brethren have taught me. I have watched some of them that have taught. They laid down the cross and went home. But I'm standing before men that have taught me. And I don't want to embarrass them. But most of all, I don't want to let God down. But I have feelings. I have got to impress these men. I'm telling you this evening, my friend, that you need to impress God. Amen. We need to come to the pulpit with the purpose of pleasing the Lord. And I'll tell you what, if this pleases the Lord, it'll please anybody else. So we need to come to try to make ourselves approved to God. Paul made this statement, and I'm not going to get to use half of what I've got. But he said in the 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then he went on to say this now. My friend, this treasure that we have, it is the pure, rich Word of God. We don't have to stand and tell his. We don't have to stand and belittle nobody. We've got the pure Word of God to preach. This is this treasure that the Lord gave us. And my friend, the reason that it's called a treasure is because of its divine value. I've got a few little things in this world, material things that I feel like that I can use on God. But it don't have any divine value. It'll wear out. It'll use up with the using. But the Word of God, my friend, it's of a divine value. And even the world's on fire, His Word will still stand. Amen. it won't change. And Paul mentioned in another place about the gospel being full of glory. I'm glad that that gospel is a glory. Oh, my friend, it was so glorious when that gospel had performed its perfect work and brought into the salvation of the Lord. How glorious. No wonder Paul could say it. And we can say it too. He mentioned in another place about it being precious. Yes, my friend, this word, this gospel, this treasure is very precious. And all of these rich treasures that the Lord had, my friend, He gave them to the Apostle Paul and to the prophets, and they handed them down to us. And men like me and you today, we have the responsibility, my friend, as the vessels, to carry this message to the world. Let's be carrying it. I'm going to have to hurry on. He gave this message to feeble, a living and a never dying word. He gave it to a feeble and a dying race of people. God, my friend, He passed by your state place, wherever you're at, and mine, and God handpicked us. You realize that? When I was looking for a wife, I handpicked her. She was the one I wanted. She was the one I liked. She was the one I fell in love with. God, my friend, picked every one of us to carry His word into this world. God handpicked us. And He handpicked us for Himself. He didn't pick us for nobody else, but He handpicked us for Himself. Now, the reason I'm saying these things is because as we began to run this race of life, we need to be able to run this race, my friend, with all the patience and the faith God will give us. There's no reason for any preacher, young or old alike, there's no reason for any of them, even Brother Henry Smith, 91 years old, it's not a matter how fast he can run or how slow he can walk, but whether it's carrying this word with patience and faith. And this blessed soldier has carried it graciously for many years. Told him earlier what a mentor that he's been to me. I began to think when I was working on this lesson, and I thought about Brother F.L. Ray. I thought about Brother Hood Lambert. I thought about Brother W.T. Russell. I thought about Brother Howard Taylor. Brother Calvin Perigo. Brother Rex Hunt. Brother Harold Carver. And there may be some others that I didn't think of. But these brethren, my friend, they worked, they learned. And what they did, these brethren passed the baton on to us. And now it's up to us to carry this. And by the grace of God, I want to pass it on to you. Amen. And you carry this baton until Jesus comes and takes us home. So we need to run this race and run it with faith and run it with patience and wait on the Lord. Now the idea of this is you and me, my friend, we are altogether insufficient to do this work by ourselves. We cannot do this. We study, and I meant what I said. We need to make the best preparations that we can do to be there for the Lord to use us. But brother, I'm telling you, the gospel, it can do things that humanity never could do. It will do. Something else I want to bring to our attention right here. Brother, I believe that there's a burden that falls upon the heart of a man to carry the gospel. Now, if that burden don't fall on there, you better go back and you might say, preacher, you're trying to preach me out. You better believe him. Brother, if you can get out of it, you ought to go now. If I can put you out, you never had nothing to start with. But I'm telling you this evening, man, that you know either one are sufficient to do this with ourselves. But if we'll let the Lord use us, my friend, He can take His gospel and He can convict people. Amen. And they can bring them down before God. We've had a family coming to Southside for the last few weeks. And they're right at 50 years old. And I feel like I really ought to preach a doctrinal message, you know, to the church. And I'd get in God would burden me with an evangelistic sermon. But I believe that's doctrine. I really do. And I just tried to let the Lord use me. And Sunday before last, this man was on the altar. And his wife wouldn't move. He got up and went home and missed a Sunday. Last Sunday they came back and him and her both was on the altar. And they prayed and they prayed. And but I'm telling you, you talk of feeling helpless. And when a sinner's on the altar and you're standing there watching, and they got a fix you can do. It's in the hands of God. And I hope that we can learn that lesson early on. God's able to instruct the heart of that sinner. He's able to tell them when they get saved. If he's big enough to tell them that they're lost, he's big enough to tell them they're saved. So whenever we dismiss, a man come to me with tears in his eyes. He said, "Will you come to my home?" I said, "Absolutely. Anytime you want me to come." He said, "How about Tuesday?" I said, "That's too late." He said, "How about Monday? I'll be there." And I went over there and they said, "Will you teach us? We want to learn what that book says." I said, "Well, you've been saved?" And she said, "No, I've not been saved." I said, "You won't learn much without salvation. I won't learn much without salvation. I've been saved. I was saved when I was 17 years old. But," he said, "I stood away from the Lord. She wants to be saved, and I beg you to pray for this woman today, that God will bring her to the place that she can't turn no way except to the Lord." So I believe the gospel is able to bring people under conviction. Now, I will get down to one other little thing here too before I get through. Preachers, don't become a commentary preacher. I believe it ought to be a Baptist rule that a young preacher couldn't pick up a commentary until he was 10 years old in the ministry. I believe it ought to be a rule. I don't see it happen. But I believe it ought to be a rule that you couldn't pick up a commentary until you're 10 years old in the Lord. Every time that they start picking them up, you're going to take man's theology. And I'm telling you, when you pick up a commentary, it's the time you're reading what another man believes. But if you'll take this and get down on your knees before God, he's the best teacher that there ever was. The best there is. So I've got commentaries. I don't want to belittle them. I use them sometimes. But, and I will say something else right here too. And this may raise some eyebrows. But preachers, I don't know if you are in a habit of using pulpit help such as notes or whatever you go to preach. I want you to be careful with them. Now, you may get mad at me over this, but you can get glad in the same britches. But I use notes once in a while. I use notes when I teach. I use notes sometimes when I preach. But for the sake of God and the church that you preach to, don't get so dependent upon your notes that you can't preach with them. Use your notes. Don't let the notes use you. Now, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Let's just say that you had a night appointment somewhere, got away out in the country about like old Union, and you had your message kind of outlined, written out. And I know this is some kind of words right here. And all of a sudden, a big storm come up. You was about halfway through your message. Lights went out. What do? Are you going to say, "Brother Skinner, bring me a lamp"? Or are you going to say, "Church, wait till that Christy comes back on"? Or can you fall back in the hands of God and let God preach you without them? Amen. Brother, you need to be able to preach it without them. Amen. And you need to be able to preach it with them. But I think that too many people that use notes abuse them. Pulpit helps, I think, to being abused. So please don't be guilty of that. I mentioned the Greek words of preaching and power. And there was a word, dunamis. And I got this from a young preacher, brethren. And it's the same English word that we get our word dynamite from. Brother, did you ever use any dynamite? My dad used to work in the coal mines. Worked in them 33 years, raised 13 children. And I'm the seventh of 13. And daddy used to bring dynamite home and lock it up. But a boy has a way of getting to it. And we'd get dynamite and we'd go over to the railroad and hang it down under the bridges and take those dynamite cuts and we'd let them things off. And I'm telling you, my friend, if it didn't move nothing, just a vibration from it would scare you to death. But I'm telling you that the gospel of the Son of God has the same power, brother, that dynamite can bring down a large mountain. It can bring down mountains of sin. When the gospel's preached in its power, Brother Moran, I think you dropped that clock twice. Somebody mentioned this morning, and I want to close with this. Brother, if we're going to be ministers of the gospel that's going to preach with any kind of power or any effectiveness, we're going to have some communications with the head. We're going to have some communications with the head, with the captain of our army. We're going to have to go to him as David did when the Philistines passed by. And David said, Father, Lord, do you want us to go down now? He said, no, said you just wait. Sometimes you need to be patient and wait on the Lord. He said, when you hear the wind the moving through the trees, he said, then you go down. Brother, I think we need to wait on the Spirit. Wait on the Spirit of the Lord to move us. And if we'll do that, I'm telling you, we'll be better served. And one thing, and I'm going to stop. Preachers, God didn't call me, He didn't call you to make excuses. So don't get up and off and on. Preach the Word. Study the Word. Get up and preach the Word. And go home feeling good in your heart that you follow the Lord. That's the lesson to you. You're as scared and nervous as I was. So you got a hanging tree for me. Here I am. I'm ready. But I thank God for the opportunity, and may God richly bless this school and take this home with you. They asked me earlier, said, have you got any outlines? I said, yeah. Well, where are they at? I said, I'll give them to you when I'm finished. So I've got them over here, and I'll lay them out for you. I think I used all the time, didn't I?
Still my friend. You too. The committee tries very hard to schedule people at the appropriate time. We didn't realize how perfectly we picked someone for after lunch. Thank the Lord for the message, and brothers. Great truth, and I think we all can learn from it. We're going to be really nice to you today. Take 20 minutes.